Hello and welcome to the Camping Trade World podcast. Now, for those of you who don't know about Camping Trade World or you're new to this podcast, we are a new B2B multimedia platform for the global camping, caravanning, motorhome and RV industries. We've got a digital magazine launching very soon and loads of other exciting and interesting stuff. You can go and check it all out at our website, which is campingtradeworld.com. On today's podcast, I was delighted to be joined by Adam Wisner. He is the Chief Commercial Officer for Super Springs International, which is one of the RV industry's leading suspension providers. We talked about a whole range of interesting stuff, like the advantages of being a relative newcomer to the RV industry, how you market a traditionally non-sexy product in an appealing way, and his thoughts on the industry in general. I hope you enjoy it, and thanks a lot for listening. Thank you very much for coming on, Adam. It's a pleasure to have you here. So the first thing I wanted to kind of talk to you about is your route into the RV industry personally, because you, by your own admission, you said you're not like a veteran of the industry. You've come here through some other things, but obviously you had a passion for it on a personal level. So I just wanted to get your kind of little bit about your background and how you came to here.
Yeah, so I spent the better part of 15 years in financial services. You know, I've always been in some sort of sales role, right? I've been working since I was very young and, you know, kind of spent a fair amount of time there, then got into management when I was around 20 and then made my way into the lending industry, sold first and second mortgages, managed a team of loan officers over several years, then got into banking, managed in retail banking. Then got into mergers and acquisitions, did some work with the acquisition of Santa Barbara Bank and Trust on the west coast of California, and then made my way to managing larger portions of retail banking and became the managing director for Los Angeles Metro retail banking, and then led into a project where we launched a digital bank, and so spent several years doing that, and then was doing some consulting in banking and was approached by someone I had known for years about considering, you know, helping out at Super Springs International. And, you know, at the time, he was really looking for a change of pace. You know, it was an opportunity to consider something new for our family and spend less time on the road and less time focused on all of those things and more time focused on, you know, my wife, Jen, and our three kiddos. And so we made a decision and we took a shot at it. And at the time we'd been camping. We'd owned a trailer. We loved it. You know, I've always had a truck for those last several years. And so wasn't familiar with springs or suspension or the industry, but was familiar with camping and the outdoors, and definitely had a passion for that. And our family loves to do that. And so, and it was a great timing too, because we had just recently gone a couple of big trips through, you know, Yellowstone and South Dakota and you know, Colorado Springs and, you know, Zion. And it was pretty neat timing. And so we said, hey, let's give this a shot. You know, you can't go wrong. Get one opportunity to make a shift like this. So let's see what it is. And met with Jerry, who is our CEO, and joined the company as chief operating officer. And fast forward now, it's been 2.5 years or so, and best decision we ever made, and loving every minute of it.
Fantastic. I think we have talked about this a little bit before, but like it's quite an interesting thing working in an industry which you also have as kind of like a hobby or a passion or an interest. You think that makes a difference?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting when you're a young man, or at least when I was a young man, that was, you know, I think because, you know, I grew up and we didn't have a lot, and so the focus really was to kind of hustle and work hard and you know, was raised by a single mom. She always had two or three jobs. You know, I mean, I can remember working in her, for her cleaning service, you know, in fifth and sixth grade, you know, as a kid, and taking trashes out and cleaning churches and offices. And so there was this dedication and work ethic that was a big part of my identity as it related to work. But really the focus was, how can, you know, I be as financially successful as possible? Let me just go somewhere where and do something where I can make the most money. So sales naturally was the bend. And I think, you know, once you kind of experience that and you taste it, and you taste a bit of that success, you realize kind of the shadow side of what that brings and what that can, you know, change. It can change you and it can change your focus. And so I think realizing that there was an opportunity to take something that we were passionate about as a family, something that I've always loved, you know, take me on a hike, take me to a mountain, take me to a lake. That's where I want to be. It was a very big opportunity, even though maybe it didn't seem like it because it was such a transition from what I was doing already. But it was that passion fuels it, so that now, genuinely, I'm excited to get up and work. As Jerry will say, one of my favorite lines he says is, you know, it'll be Friday. He says, only 2 days till Monday. You know, and it's a different mentality, right, than only 2 days until the weekend. And not that we don't enjoy our weekends and do, you know, spend time with our friends and family, but there's a genuine love and passion for what I'm doing, and it makes it really easy when it's something that you're personally passionate about, because you can wake up and get after it with all of the energy, and you don't need anything to get those juices flowing.
Yeah. Oh, that's really, really, I like that line. That's a good line. Cool.
Yeah. He's got plenty of them.
I bet. So, just kind of for those listening who don't know, about Super Springs International, maybe you could just give us kind of a little bit of an oversight of, who you are and what you're about. And
yeah, I'd love to. So, you know, at our broadest, Super Springs International designs, develops, and manufactures suspension solutions to make the journey better. And that crosses the work truck industry, the recreational truck industry, and the RV industry, and recreational sedan industry. Really, it we're very broad suspension solution. We've been around for you know, since the mid 90s, and we got our start in our namesake. Really, Super Springs is a product. Super Springs are a product. It's a steel helper spring that really is an alternative to adding a leaf. So rather than breaking a spring pack and adding a leaf, we put a spring in that gives you lift, reduces body roll, and it's self-adjusting. And so it's cheaper, it's easier, and it's you know, made right here in the US. It's high quality materials. And then we make another product line that's called Sumo Springs. And that's really was dreamt up out of an alternative to an airbag. And so the product really does something that multiple products do. It provides shock absorption, damping, reduction of sag, body roll, and sway. And the real differentiator is that it's completely maintenance free. And that it's totally progressive. So, you know, your unloaded ride quality is good, and your loaded ride quality is fantastic when you go to load up, and it's going to keep you safer. So Super Springs is a company. You know, we develop suspension, and we design and manufacture suspension across multiple industries. And, you know, as we've talked about a little bit, and some people might know, but, you know, we do a ton of business in the RV world. And we're standard or optional equipment on the biggest brands in the world. Winnebago, Coachman, Pleasureway, Tiffin, Road Trek, you know, Midwest Automotive Design. There's just to name a few. And we're very proud of the work that we've done since our inception. There's been a lot of hard work that's been put in. You know, this company was founded by Jerry's sister. And they've got an incredible story. You know, Jerry's one of 13 kids. Every one of those kids grew up to be an entrepreneur.
Wow.
And they grew up in South Africa. And, you know, Jerry came over in the 90s to kind of come inject some life into the business. At the time, it was established, but it was in a lull. And from that point on, Jerry really dedicated himself fully to seeing this business grow. And Jerry's a civil engineer by trade, built bridges and, really massive scale things in South Africa. And so the understanding of design and of engineering is at their highest levels. And so applying his mind into something like suspension, I think was, although maybe not the first thing you would think of, it was very natural and intuitive. And that still lends itself to what you see with what we're doing today. And we continue to innovate and to come up with new designs and leverage the materials and the experience that we have to make better suspension so that people can journey better.
Obviously, as you listed off some of the companies that you're working with in the RV industry, you guys are obviously pretty big players in the RV game. Did the company start out with RV, or did it start out in other sectors and then kind of move into the RV?
Yeah, no, really the companies started out in the work truck industry.
Yeah. Okay.
Because the Sumo Springs were, really came into play, 13, 14 years ago.
Yeah.
The steel products was what the company was really built on. And so, you had big work truck companies and, you hear stories from Kathy, Jerry's sister, of going to AAA's and bringing springs and installing them on the spot and getting people to just, it was really that grinder mentality was there. You had to get the product, you had to get them to put it on and try it, and then they would know, oh, okay, this is something that I would try, right? There was no brand, there was no name, there was no recognition. And so really the foundation of the organization was built on the work truck industry. And that still reigns true today. A large portion of our business is in the work truck industry. And if you go to kind of the SEMA of work truck, which is the NTEA show, you will see our product on the similar to RV on the biggest names out there, on the biggest truck builders out there, on the biggest chassis builders out there. So that was kind of where it was started. And then there was a transition. The Sumo Springs really came out of a joint effort with the Border Patrol, the United States Border Patrol. And they were looking for an alternative to airbags. And that was really how the first Sumo Springs were designed. And, they don't drive on roads, and they're looking for something that is completely maintenance-free. And, you can avoid the risk of failure that you have with anything with air in it. And so Sumo Springs really kind of solved that problem. And we did, 5,000 units with the Border Patrol and never saw a single warranty. And so that was kind of a really good proof of concept then go, okay, hey, how do we scale this thing into the rest of the markets?
All right. So obviously the quality and the performance that the product delivers is one of the key selling points behind it. But I did want to talk to you a little bit about your kind of marketing strategy, because it's kind of interesting. I'm sure, hopefully I won't offend you by saying this, but obviously suspension springs aren't the most exciting product in the world. You guys have kind of taken a little bit of a different approach with marketing recently, which is kind of starting to bring yield, right?
Yeah, I think, we understand that our product isn't sexy.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and that to say, we had, funny story. We do have Facebook and a couple of others flag our product for sexual content because they think our product is something else sometimes. So all that being said, the product really isn't, you're right. Suspension isn't an exciting thing. It's not just not an exciting thing, but you don't see it either. It's not flashy. So, it's not like we're selling bumpers or grill guards or, camping shells or bed covers or something that physically can be seen going down the road. So you have a unique challenge in that you sell something that people put on and that, one, no one can see. No one will know unless they stick their head under the vehicle. And two, we sell something that we don't want to hear back from that customer. in the sense that it is completely maintenance free. You know, we use the phrase fit it and forget it. You put it on and you never think about it again. Well, that's not exactly the, you know, the best marketing strategy for some folks, right?
Yeah.
You want people to think about it. But we, yeah, but we like that. We want that for our customers, because that's what we want, right? We want something that we can put on and not have to worry about or think about. And we thought, you know what, that can create a level of loyalty. And so, you know, after a short time at the company, and gosh, now it's been maybe a year and a half, when I was asked to take over marketing, really my brain had gone toward, you know, one of the things I like to do is spend more time pondering and thinking, leaving free space for simply just thinking. And that's a hard thing for us to do when we are inundated with screens and with stuff and with, you know, family and work and kids and all that, which is all, those are all good things, but those good things can turn into kind of real distractions against depth of thought. And so I remember just kind of having a thought come to me when I was driving around, looking around, going, man, you know what's really exciting about this? Because again, not coming from the industry, I didn't have any, you know, I wasn't attached to suspension. I didn't have, you know, I wasn't going to dive in. I think I was thinking about it maybe from an outsider's perspective. Mm-hmm. And what I thought, once I started hearing the customers that we supported, who we sold product to, I started thinking, wow, this is really fascinating stuff. And what I know coming from any industry is that story transcends all. The story is the universal that every person can understand. You know, my kids can understand the story of somebody rather than the suspension that they're using. So although maybe it's boring to explain how that suspension may help somebody, it's not as boring to explain that by us helping, you know, up here in the Pacific Northwest, one of our customers, Avista, the power company, put our product on the side of a truck that has a boom that's going to repair power to homes when storms come through. That's a story there, right? So what are we really doing? We're actually enabling this company to give power back to people within areas when they've, you know, been damaged. You know, we're on food trucks who deliver food all over the country. You know, we're on RVs that are taking families to have incredible memories. We partner with, you know, companies who, you know, spend all of their time investing in how to make the journey better for their customers, because they know they're full time, you know, living in, you know, a product that they're building. So what kind of struck me was, if we can tell those stories, then that will be something that people can attach themselves to. And once we build a brand of being invested in and passionate about the story, genuinely making the journey better, well, then everything else kind of comes after that. You know, it's secondary or tertiary to that. Once somebody hears that, we went to Winnebago, the Winnebago Journey Better story is one of the perfect examples of that. You know, we could go in and do a walk around with Winnebago and talk about, you know, just how they build their product, and get to the nuts and bolts of it and talk about why our suspension is awesome and it helps, you know, the vehicle ride better and it reduces body roll and sway and, you know, give all the features and benefits. But it was way more interesting for the opening of that to be Russ Garfin, who is, you know, who manages Class B and Class C for Winnebago, speaking in Japanese.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because you immediately go, wait a second,
what's
happening here? Yeah, this is a guy from Forest City, Iowa. Why is he speaking Japanese? And to lead into his story and his journey about how he majored in Japanese in college and how that gave him the opportunity to actually go to Japan and help homologate product for Winnebago. I mean, that's a way more interesting story than, you know, opening up saying, hi, you know, I'm Russ, I run the Class B division, and let me tell you about why my product's good. So that's really been our focus.
Definitely is. And I would recommend to anyone listening to go and check out your YouTube channel and those Journey Better videos that you mentioned, because like you said, they just give something a bit more, like, you know, give a story, like you said, and that is really what it's all about. I kind of wanted to talk about 2020. It's kind of an unavoidable topic with these kind of things at the moment. So kind of want to know, like, how was it for you guys? Obviously, it was a little bit scary at first when the pandemic first took hold, but then actually it turned out to be quite a shot in the arm for the RV industry. So what was your experience of it?
Well, you know, from a historic sense, you know, we hadn't in modern history with media and communication the way that it is now experienced anything kind of like this. And so, but we had experienced, you know, the 2008, economic recession. And I think that taught people a lot of lessons on resiliency and also how to adjust your business for a slowed economy. And so what we learned during that time was that we would need to be able to pivot and to adjust. And at that time, really, it was about adjusting into the work truck market, because even when the economy is slow, you still have, you know, utilities and services and people delivering food and the basics, that those all still happen. You also have increases in things like people investing in their existing vehicles rather than going and buying a new one. And so, you know, auto shops and parts accessory shops might experience more of a lift during that time. So there were lessons learned there in that sense. But one thing that we knew, and one thing that I was passionate about when I joined, was that we would need to be nimble, and we would need to be able to make moves and make adjustments. And one of the advantages of not being a large kind of stuffy corporation is that you can pivot quickly and you can make adjustments on the fly. And as long as you've got everybody kind of rowing in the same direction, you can achieve change quickly. Well, we were fortunate from a marketing perspective, in the sense that when I had taken over, it was, you know, the summer of 2019, and immediately wanted to focus on video and on high quality video and on updating the web experience and the customer journey there, and really focusing on that, knowing that that could produce a lot of value for us. Well, little did we know that the investment being made in that for that 6 or 7 months was going to be paramount to our ability to pivot and be successful through a global pandemic, where a lot of people just were, I mean, screen time obviously increases, more people are sitting and watching. So it is the access point that you have to people's, you know, eyeballs and from an impressions perspective. So, you know, 2020, you know, we immediately took action and started following protocols. Our headquarters are in California. And so, you know, in Santa Barbara, California, Carpinteria specifically, but, you know, taking all of the necessary precautions, but being in a part of the world where it was probably the most strict pretty early on, we made adjustments and, you know, people worked from home. We did social distancing, had PPE, temperature checks, all the things that would help to slow things down. And we were very fortunate to not have any incident, you know, close us down. We were also deemed as a, you know, a necessary business because we did serve, you know, the work truck market and suspension. So, you know, it started to present challenges, but to your point, what we did know, and starting in March and April, Tom Bateman, our creative director, really started having some discussions around what do we think is going to happen here? So let's just forecast. We don't know what's going to happen, but if things start getting shut down and people can't do the basics, how does that affect our industry? Well, what we knew was if people are now being forced into kind of close quarters, then camping is going to be something that they want to do. It's outdoors. It's self-contained. It's, you know, it's all the awesome things. It really allows people to be free in a lot of senses. And so we started focusing a fair amount of our energy on that. We already had a desire to do that because our Trailer Sumo Springs product was something that we were investing in. But that was, you know, that timing was, we went out and released a Trailer Sumo Springs video in May. Right. So that was the timing of when we did this. And that's the video that, you know, I think as of now, it's at like 450,000 views. there was an appetite there right off the bat for anything that had to do with RV and camping. And you'd see it in the marketing metrics. You'd see it in the buys and in the bids on advertising, right? You'd go, whoa, this one, you know, is constantly under budget. I could set this dollar amount to any spend amount per day, and it's going to say I'm under budget because there's such an appetite for all things camping and trailer at that time. So we worked tirelessly as a team and as a company to focus on RV as original equipment, but also RV dealers, our aftermarket partners and our jobbers and distributors who are selling. We had a lot of our jobbers and distributors shift to e-commerce. So we have e-commerce partners who did really well. And so 2020 for us, as much as it presented challenges, it was a historic year for us by way of revenue and profits. And so we were very, very fortunate to get through the year and be able to support all the folks on our team and really turn the page into 2021 with a fair amount of momentum.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. A couple of other people I've spoken to in the industry, both in Europe and in the States, kind of made the point that camping received a boost because it was kind of one of the only things people could do. But the smart companies are the ones who were trying to make the most of that and ensure that new and returning campers had a good experience, so that when they do have the option to go somewhere else on a plane or a cruise or whatever, they might actually think twice about it.
Yeah, listen, I think investing in your business is the same as investing in the markets. You know, the most important thing to think about is diversifying. So to the extent that you can diversify your portfolio and your concentration of business is this, you know, relative to your long-term success and your mitigation against, you know, big dips or, you know, being kind of a slave to economic shifts or, you know, shifts in public behavior. You know, for us, I think, as I said, you know, we had that boost, but at the same time, we have multiple facets of our business, even in an international community that was slowed. You know, we added 9 countries in 2020, 9 new countries in 2020. And, you know, we, our work truck market, you know, continued to push again, because even if things are slow, you still have the necessities, and those are serviced by the commercial work truck industry. So I think for us too, it was ensuring that we, yes, we're taking advantage and preparing ourselves well, but the idea around the marketing is that if we make it as broadly applicable as possible to drive awareness around what we do generally to make the journey better with suspension, that's going to bubble up into new markets and new opportunities and things that we haven't even thought of, which it has. And so, I think 2021 will be another year, historic year probably of camping. But you will find a dip at some point where people, you know, went out and bought a camper and then realized, actually, I really don't like this, you know? But I think of economic indicators. I was talking to Tom about this the other day. You know, a lot of people look to all the various indicators, and it's what we would always do in the banking world. But for me, it's look at the people around you, look at your family and your extended family, ask them what they're doing, look for the changes in their behavior. That'll actually give you a really good idea of what's happening. My wife was talking to one of her good friends, you know, from high school the other day, who lives in a different state, and they've always traveled. You know, her husband's from Italy, and so they would constantly travel everywhere, that, you know, whether it was Hawaii or whatever. They had 2 or 3 vacations a year, and she messaged my wife and said, we just bought a big Class C RV.
Oh, wow.
and so, you know, that right. And this is a person who I would never guess would be the place that they would go as far as how they would approach things. But that tells you, and that was just recently. So what that tells me is that how many other people are out there kind of, maybe there, it's like the early adopters, right? It's like the whole curve of adoption. You have the early adopters, and then you have the, you know, the people who are a little bit, and then you have the people who are late. You know, I can't help but to think you've got some people who it's coming to a head now where they're realizing, okay, this really isn't going to come back soon. I'm not going to be able to get on a plane and go wherever I want in the next 3 or 6 months. What are we going to do to, you know, get some quality time together as a family or friends.
Yeah, definitely. And that kind of, as we move into 2021 and things, hopefully we start to see a little bit of light at the end of this tunnel. And you kind of experienced that a little bit firsthand recently, because you guys exhibited at the first show that's happened in real life for quite a while in the RV industry in Florida, the Florida RV Super Show. So yeah, how was that? What was it like?
I can't remember. Yeah. it was interesting. It was interesting to be out. I think, you know, some of the data that I've seen, in recent days is that, you know, there was maybe a 10 or 15% dip in attendance, but most of that was, they believe the snowbirds from Canada. So anybody who could come domestically, in the States did. And another really interesting stat that I saw was that purchases were up, right. Commerce was up. So the interesting thing to take away from that is the people who did go were serious buyers. They went because they wanted to go, and there was almost a pent up desire to, you know, be at a show and to be able to look at things and buy things and feel and touch. But the show was good. You know, it was there was 60,000 people that went. I mean, that's a fair amount of people. I think prior year was 75. So 60,000 people. And you had a lot of dealers, you had a lot of manufacturers. You know, we obviously displayed and had a booth there, and we were busy every day. It was nonstop. And I also, spent some time walking the show, for several days, several of the days. And, it was busy and it was exciting, and there was a buzz. You know, people seemed to, be taking things seriously and, being reasonable and logical from a safety perspective. But at the same time, you know, not letting it stop them from getting out and kind of doing things. And that was exciting to see. I think a lot of people were waiting to go to, you know, that first show and to see what it would be like. And it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like sports here in the US. I watch a lot of mixed martial arts, and, you know, the UFC, was, you know, the first sport to bring things back, and, you know, but do it, show how you could do it, and build a playbook, and you can do it in a reasonable and safe way. But rather than, you know, avoidance, kind of figuring out how can we do this? You know, is there, what are the ways that we can do this? Not, you know, if so. The Florida RV show was good. It was neat to see a lot of new products and floor plans, and people had a lot of energy and were excited. You know, we had a lot of people coming by the booth just to tell us how much they loved our product, which is always fun. You know, when these are consumer shows, you know, don't get me wrong, the B2B and business shows are fun, but when you have the true consumers, you know, who come and tell you, you know, hey, Adam, it was just, you know, as soon as I put those on, these are the best thing I ever put on my Class A. I went from driving with two hands to one. And you know, you hear those things and you're meeting people's dogs, and somebody tags me on the Facebook group to say, oh, hey, you know, my dog says hi or whatever. You know, I think that's what it's about. And it creates a connection and an awareness. And so, we were happy to be there.
Well, hopefully, like you said, that can maybe lead the way and show how these kind of things can happen in the future and in the interim while we kind of build the world back to normality. And kind of talking of the future, I want to ask you kind of like a little question about how you see things for you. So let's say that you are, Adam, in 5 years' time. So where are you? Where is Super Springs International? What are the goals, and how do you think you're going to get there?
My beard's a lot grayer. no, I mean, gosh, 5 years. You know, listen, we're on a tear as a company. Listen, I think we have big aspirations for what we think we can do. We're only starting to scratch the surface as it relates to a market share and brand awareness. In 5 years, you know, you're going to see our product on, I think it'll be standard equipment on every trailer that's built in the United States. I think you're more people are really going to know who we are and know our product well and demand it. You know, there's a reason that, you know, you can get an RC Cola or a Coke. And there's a reason that people buy Coke and they know it's the real deal. And I think, of course, you know, as you grow, you have people who come and work to copy you and to do things similar to you, but people know the real thing. And I think for us, it's not just our dedication to the product and to the design, but it's our dedication to the people that we serve, each other and all of the customers. I think that will differentiate us for the long term. And you can see that. You can see that in the way we invest in our business, you know, doing brand spots or doing stories on somebody, you know, in the traditional sense, if you talk to any traditional manufacturer, they go, well, I'm not spending my money on that. Right. I mean, we need to spend the money on more POP displays and more, you know, videos just talking about our product. Why are we doing something like this? That's a short term view. You know, I think you do have to think about your business in decades, not quarters, you know? And I think when you do that, you can set your mind on really what this business can be. So for us, we do have large aspirations. I do dream about what the next 5 or 10 years are going to look like. But at the end of the day, it's about, you know, what tomorrow will bring and what the opportunity is today, waking up today and making the most of it. You know, tomorrow's not guaranteed. So, you know, what we want to do is we want to make the journey better across multiple industries and make an impact to make people's lives better by doing something like suspension, which, you know, it's a tangible and real thing that we can actually give to people and work toward for them to have a better experience. And that's what it's all about. And so a better experience, better journey for our employees, for our shareholders, for, you know, our customers, that's really the goal. So 5 years from now, I hope that's what we're known for. I hope that's what people know our brand for. And that would be success to me.
Mm. It's sticking to what you're good at and just keep reinforcing that message, I guess. Yeah.
Listen, it's In-N-Out Burger, right? It's burgers, fries, and shakes. There's a reason that they don't add barbecue sauce and you know, mushrooms and all these other things. It's because, you know, the thing about it is, gosh, and I don't know if it was Bruce Lee or another person who said this, but you know, doing 100 things once is very different than doing one thing 100 times. And so the folks who are excellent, who thrive and are passionate for excellence, it's a dedication to knowing what you're good at and then doing it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. That creates somebody who understands things in a way that no one else can. And that makes for an excellent thing. And then of course you can adjust and you can iterate and you can learn along the way, but you know, you've got to fail fast and to fail fast, you've got to put in those repetitions. It's like, you know, doing the basics for, you know, playing an instrument or anything else, you know, if you do that, you can unlock kind of the creativity and the creative greatness if you can really master the basics. And so for us, yeah, we know what we're good at. We want to stay in that lane. We want to do it well and then see what that percolates up to.
That's a great bit of business philosophy, I think. Great piece for us to end on, actually. So thank you very much, Adam. I really appreciate your time and good luck with Super Springs. And I hope to drive a vehicle with some attached at some point in the near future.
Yeah, listen, no, I appreciate it. Thanks for the time, David. We'll get you out here and get you fishing on the Columbia soon.
Now we're talking.
All right. Cool. Have a good one.